I would like to read Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 20. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. One thing that people often say to a person's preaching is that you should practice what you preach. It's a good rule. Today I'm going to preach about something that I don't practice. Today I'm going to preach about something that I would like to practice, but it's very hard for me. Who of you knows the movie Inside Out? It's a Pixar movie. Maybe you can put the image on screen. Just a few. It's a great movie. It's about a girl, and the movie is about the emotions in her head, how they control her and how they interact and how they form what she thinks and what she feels. Next slide, there are 5 emotions in her head. Joy, disgust, fear, anger, and sadness. And you can see them interacting and doing stuff in their head. And it's a great movie, especially if you have like children who are emotional. It's actually very scientifically ingestoken in Dutch, with actual theory about how emotions work. And the thing that surprised me when I was watching this movie is that there's quite a positive role for anger. Anger is, the obviously the one with the flames, and but there's anger has a positive role in the movie for most of the time, and that really was strange to me because I have learned to distrust anger. Anger is not okay. I come from a harmonious family. I am inclined myself to have things harmonious, to avoid confrontation. So anger is a bad thing. Anger is not okay. Anger needs to be suppressed. And anger usually comes with a feeling of feeling powerless. And that's not a nice feeling as well. So let's suppress anger even more. So this sermon is an attempt to talk about anger, to form some ideas, to practice. And that is because it's anger leads me to shutting off. The key verse in the passage that we read that jumped out for me a few weeks ago and that started this process was make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And I read it and I realized I shut my eyes, I close myself off for the evil in our times because they make me angry. They make me despair. Angry is not okay. Despair I don't like. So I close myself off and I don't let it touch me. And when I read it, the days are evil, I realize that it's not okay to shut yourself off for the evil in the times, for injustice, and to sit back in my own very comfortable life with very much harmony and no conflict, as little conflict as I can manage, and shut me off for the injustice in our times. So that's why I want to talk about anger, about injustice, and about practicing what I preach. I found three biblical ways to deal with the evil in our times, to deal with injustice. Probably more, but this is what I've got for you this morning. If you're new today, this might be a kind of heavy topic for you. This is not always the case. This is not our normal Sunday morning. There's actually a lot of positivity and worship and nice, good, uplifting sermons in this church. So if this morning is not for you, please come back and next time. I'm sorry, this is what I have for you today. The interesting thing for me is that in this passage, the Bible connects the evil days with opportunities. Be careful how you live. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And then the next verse is said, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What is the Lord's will? Now, from this passage, just a few things jump out. It says, follow God's example, walk in the way of love. Love is God's will. Purity. Thanksgiving. It says, you were once darkness, but live in the light. The light, the fruit of the light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Have nothing to do with darkness, but expose them. Do not get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak with psalms, hymns, and song from the Spirit. That's worship. And then again it says, always give thanks to the God the Father for everything. Thankfulness, thanksgiving. Now, a lot of these things are really nice, like very harmonious. Thanksgiving, I can do that. Worship, I can do that. Purity, yeah. Love, I try, yeah, it's a nice thing to try. But then it talks about things like righteousness and truth and exposing darkness. And those are the confrontational things, and those are the hard things. And those are the things that need you to make a stand. So, you know, a lot of things I can follow. I think there's just a basic way of living a good life that is sort of a testimony to the evil in our times, the way you live your life in trying to live a good life. Wisdom in the Bible is not so much a word for knowing a lot of things, but it's a way for knowing how to live right. God's wisdom is about how to live right, and righteousness is about how to live right. Is my time up already? Wow. I'm sorry. So for me, one way to deal with evil in our times is to choose to live a good life. And the second one. Okay. The second one has to do with the confrontation, with the exposing darkness, with justice. And that's where anger comes in. Because anger is actually a very useful emotion. Anger is the thing you feel that rises up in the gap between the way you feel things should be like and the way they actually are. And if those are not the same, that's where anger comes in. It's about, this is not right, this is not how it should be. It's about fairness, and in many ways it's about justice. And that's why anger often comes with a feeling of feeling powerless. Because how often can you change the things they are, the way the things are? It's hard. But then anger is also the emotion that sets you into motion, maybe to try to change the world, try to change the way things are. It's a very powerful drive. So anger has its place. And of course, there's a lot of misuse of anger. There's a lot of things that anger is not okay with. And that brings me to the other side of the gap. The way you feel like things should be like. As a Christian, as a follower and disciple of Jesus, we need to have the Word of God feed everything we do, including the way we feel things should be like. And if we read the Bible, we often come across an angry God, a God who is angry about injustice, about angry how the way people treat other people, treat his beloved people, the way about his beloved people treat him. So if we connect ourselves with the way that God wants the world to be, and if we try to read the Bible, find a way, find out what the Lord's will is, as the passage says, how things should be, then we feed our anger with the Word of God. And I think there is something in connecting our own anger, and I'm not sure because I don't practice it, so I'm hoping I'm right, but I think there's something in connecting our own anger with the connecting with the anger of God. And that we might miss out on a part of God if we suppress anger. There's a lot of anger in the Bible. Psalms. David cries out. Lamentations, the prophets, Job. Even Paul doesn't say, don't get angry. He says, when you get angry, don't sin. That's a different thing. People in the Bible cry out to God. They cry out to God for injustice. They cry out to God for revenge. They cry out to God with their fantasies of how God smites other children on the rock as a part of revenge. They don't do it. But they take it to the Lord. So why do I want to practice anger? Because I want to open up myself, to open my eyes for the injustice in the world, for God's anger, connect myself with God's anger. And then see God's opportunities. Just let the anger, to let my emotions get me into motion and make the most of the opportunities that God gives me. So I think that's maybe the second thing. First one, live a good life. Second one, let God show you the opportunities that he would like to give you to fight injustice, to fight things that are not right, to expose darkness, to speak truth. And then the third one, as I said, is take it to the Lord. If there's nothing you can do, if you feel powerless, despair, hopelessness, take it to the Lord, like the prophets, like the psalmist. Don't oppress it. Don't suppress it, but channel it in a way that brings it before God. It says, God, I don't think this is okay. I am angry about this. Why, how, what are you doing? I recently read a book in preparing for this sermon, and it said, a curse, when used appropriately, is actually a mini prayer. A curse is an outcry, like, this is not right. God forbid this to happen, this to be. And it's a mini prayer. And of course, people curse very inappropriately and very mindlessly. But it might be a way to channel your powerlessness, your emotions to God. Like, God, this is not okay. This is evil. Anger makes a division. Like, this is not okay. This should not be. This is not okay. the whole thing, the debate about slavery in the Netherlands, comes down to a point where our government says this was not okay, this was evil. And it had to take a lot of anger and a lot of discussion and a lot of emotion from many people to get like a big institution to that point. So those are my three ways to try to deal with evil in our times. Live a good life. Ask God for the opportunities, to show you the opportunities. And take it to the Lord. Now I'd like to spend some time in contemplation and try to sort of practice and see where we get. I'm not going to ask you to stomp around angry today, but to give a place for our emotions and our feelings. To take a look at the things that make us angry, to maybe open up or open our eyes for injustice in our times, if you, like me, tend to close off, and to take it to the Lord. You see, I get angry when I read the news about the way Europe treats its refugees. That our whole way of treating refugees is based on denying them their human rights and denying them their human dignity. And that people are making decisions and policies and treaties that kill people. That's what makes me angry. It makes me angry to see the people lying outside the center in Ter Apel in the mud and in the rain because there's no place for them. And then politicians come by and they look at it and they say, this is not okay. We should bully these people more because they keep on coming. I get angry at myself because the clothes I wear are still made in slavery. Because I'm stuck in the systems of this world that put me on the top and a lot of people at the bottom that are exploited because of the things I use and I need and I apply in my daily life. And it's not very far away. I've known people in this church who got scammed out of their money by a business partner. I've known people in this church who were ostracized by their family for being gay. I've known people in this church who got to deal with the cheating of an adulterous partner. I've known people in this church who were taken advantage of, neglected, and abused by their own children at an elderly age. God forbid. I'd like to read Psalm 12, which is a psalm of complaint and of lamentation. And then after that, I'd like to give you the time to think about your own sense of injustice and anger and despair. Psalm 12. I didn't put it in the PowerPoint, so it's not going to be on the beamer. Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbor. They flatter with their lips, but harbor deception in their hearts. May the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. Those who say, by our tongues we will prevail. Our own lips will defend us. Who is Lord over us? Because the poor are plundered and the needy groan, I will now arise, says our Lord, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined seven times. You, Lord, will keep the needy safe. And will protect us forever from the wicked, who freely strut about when what is vile is honored by the human race. And I feel that's such a powerful description of our times. What is vile is honored by the human race. I'd like you to give some time for you to Think about your own anger, a sense of injustice, things you want to take to the Lord. We're going to play a song, which is a song that is an outcry to God. It's an accusation to God. It's a song of like, God, why are you even watching? Which can only be done in the faith and the trust that God is watching and listening and that he is good. So we're going to play the song. There are notes on several places in the room, on the projection table in the back here, here. There are some pens here, if you don't have a pen. So when we play the song, I'd like you to think about, feel about, like, what do I feel? What is injustice to me? What do I get angry about? And write it down as a prayer to God. Your complaints, your prayer, your lamentation, maybe your curse. And Revelation 8 says that it talks about an angel holding a censer, and in the censer is incense, that is the prayer of God's people. So I have my own censer here. If you've written it down, fold it up, put it in a bowl. Take it to the Lord. I will not burn it, don't worry. I will also not read it, but it's your expression to God about what you feel. I guess people are listening to this later as a podcast. The songs we play today, we can't incorporate them in the podcast. So if you're listening to this, the song we're going to play is Does Your Heart Break by a band called The Brilliance. If you're on Spotify anyway, you can look it up and listen to it. But for now, I'd like you to take some time for yourself to think about, get some paper, write it down, and take it to the Lord during this song. Is that options? Good. One of the ideas that struck me in preparation for this message was a comment I read that anger needs a community to be truly fruitful. Because my anger can change a bit, maybe. But as a community, we can make a difference. And if, as a community, as Christians, as a church, or as a discipleship group, as a home group, as a family, you can talk about injustice and about what makes you angry and about what raises your emotion. I think there's power in that. We're not going to do that today. We'll leave it here. I'd like to encourage you to talk about it in your home group, in your discipleship group. Talk about it in any community where you are. And share. Just sharing is the start. For me, it's a challenge to open up for the evil in our times, to not shut it out, not close off. Some of you need to hear that a lot of things are going well, that in many ways the times have never been better. Just a few statistics. In this time, there is less poverty than ever before. There are less deaths from war than ever before. And more girls than ever in the history of humanity are getting an education right now. These times are not only evil, but things are working and growing and building. I say that not only to balance my message, but also because those things happen not by themselves, but by people who made the most of every opportunity. And things can change. I'd like to pray. And after that, I'd like to play one more song. For the podcast listeners, it's the song 40 by U2. It's based on Psalm 40. And for me, it's a mix of hope. The lyric says, we will sing a new song. And impatience and despair. How long do we still need to sing this song before we actually sing a new song? So I pray. We'll listen to the song, and then I'll hand it over to the worship team again. God, we thank you, and we praise and we worship you, because you are the God who made us. You are the God who knows us. You are the God who made us in your image. And today we talked about a very specific part of that image of who you are and who we are. And I ask you to bless it, to redeem, and to accept our prayers, this bowl full of incense, the things that make us angry, the things that we feel are unjust. We pray that you act, that you show us what opportunities you give us, what are the good things you prepared for us to do. We pray that you comfort those who need your comfort. We pray that you fight injustice. You set people free. You let your righteous reign over all the earth. We thank you that you are the God who cried, who gets angry, and the God who gave himself over to injustice, to set free and to redeem. Thank you. Amen.